I'm Erin Fairbanks, reporting for HeritageRadioNetwork.org. We're checking in with our food community to see how everyone is holding up in the aftermath of Superstorm Sandy. So I'm on the line here with Margaret Purvis, President and CEO of Food Bank for New York City. Margaret, how have you been faring in the aftermath of Superstorm Sandy?
Well, I tell you, we are definitely standing in the middle of some really challenging and difficult times. You know, the food bank on a regular day serves 1,000 charities in every borough, pretty much every neighborhood across New York City. We supply them with food that makes up about 400,000 meals every single day. That's our regular operation. With the storm, you got to remember, I mean, our members are part of the community as well. So in some of the places where we need members the most, they too are out of order. They too are closed. Or because of the subways, they can't get to their volunteers. Or when the bridges close, we couldn't make deliveries to some of them. So it has pretty much turned upside down, a system that has worked really well for 30 years. We still have, in the process of all of that, gotten out 38 trucks. We have not closed one day since Monday. We've been open every single day. We've gotten out about almost 400,000 pounds of food, but there still is obviously more need. I mean, there are still communities that we can't get to. There are still member agencies, soup kitchens, pantries, who we typically would be able to depend on, and, you know, they're still trying to right by themselves. So it's been pretty devastating, Erin.
Yeah, it sounds like a big challenge. And in addition to that, now your administrative offices also suffered some damage and were evacuated. So
yes, our administrative offices actually are in Zone A. You know, the food bank has an administrative office downtown. We have a soup kitchen in Harlem. And then, of course, our 90,000-square-foot warehouse is in the Bronx. So we have had to basically manage this entire thing this entire week from cell phones and WhatsApp and BBMs and personal email addresses and trying to basically sharing space. State Senator Kruger has been awesome. She's actually given us space in her building for our staff members to go. United Federation of Teachers, they have also offered us space. So we've had some really great partnerships, and we've had to learn to work in some very non-traditional ways. We had a small flood at our warehouse in the Bronx, but thankfully we had already moved the food, so no food was harmed. But it's been pretty challenging.
And as far as, you know, a lot of businesses that are without power or were without power for some time that are food businesses have had issues with kind of spoilage or, you know, not being able to kind of come back and use food that they had in their system. Is that something you've experienced?
Yes, we actually have gotten a few phone calls about, can we pick up XYZ meat before it goes bad or things like that. The problem is that, you know, we are not food rescue, we're a food bank. So our food has to be certified via vendors and food purveyors. We don't do food rescue. That is our sister organization here. So we have heard that, and we know that that obviously is a problem. But obviously, as an emergency, you know, response organization, our first priority has to be about getting food in the hands of people who need it the most.
And you know, not to force you into a tough hierarchy here, but, you know, is there a particular area of the city that's been the most challenging to service due to the storm?
Yeah, well, obviously, everyone in Zone A. I mean, thankfully, the majority of our member agencies are not in Zone A, but obviously, those are the ones that are hardest, you know, but and the areas that are closest to Zone A. The biggest issue, which is kind of, you know, think about the part that people probably really didn't think about as much, is the fact that the subways are not up to full steam, you know, emergency food programs, soup kitchens, pantries, they exist because of the work and dedication of volunteers, trained volunteers who have been with them. So it's very daunting for, even if, you know, maybe some lovely leader from a faith-based organization, maybe she's able to get to the program, but she can't serve long lines by herself. So part of our response has not just been about getting food to our members. We've also sent hundreds of volunteers out to our members to help them open their doors, in some cases to help them clean up But all of that obviously is to be able to get these programs back online. You know, the part of the disaster, Erin, that we really want to make sure that people really understand why it is especially troublesome that it's happening here in the city is that it's about the timing. It's the date that it happened. You know, the fact that it happened at the end of the month means that there are so many people who, whether they were waiting on SSI, whether their families are fed using a food stamps or SNAP is the official name of it, that means that they really didn't have any resources. So when everyone keeps talking about, you know, why didn't certain people evacuate, you can never forget that there's a lot of New Yorkers who could not afford to evacuate because evacuations and disaster response has a cost. It costs money. Those things are not free. And we want to make sure that people understand that. The other thing that we need folks to understand is the fact that school has been out all week means that for families who are relying on free and reduced breakfast and lunch, that means that they will have missed two meals every single day that their children rely on. So that's more money. You know, this is a city, specifically, and we are a network that, you know, most of the people who we support, they have jobs. They are the working poor. If they don't get to go to work, that means they don't get their hourly wage. So they're more in the hole at the end of this week, just not even with the storm, just the fact that they can't get to work. And now today is the first, and many of them are wondering about rent being due, plus the fact that their food resources are limited. So the storm has a whole lot more victims, and there's a whole lot more debris that is not about a tree that's fallen or what have you. This kind of thing has an economic side, and it really and truly can decimate a family situation.
Wow. So thank you for being out there and being such a great advocate for these communities that are in need now and throughout the year. If our listeners want to get involved, if they want to support the work that you're doing, what's the best way for them to do that?
The best way is to come to our website at foodbanknyc.org. On our website, Erin, they will find ways to both support our work financially, because with the food that's not being donated, we're going to have to just purchase it. We have to do that. The second thing is, if they would like to volunteer, we certainly have places for them to go. We are likely to be having volunteers come to our warehouse. We're hoping that food will come in tomorrow. That's our prayer, that more food will come in tomorrow, and we're certainly going to need volunteers to help us repack it. So if they go to the website, they'll have every kind of avenue to get involved right now and help us get our neighbors into a better situation.
Margaret, thank you so much for joining us. Definitely our thoughts are with you and with the communities that you serve, and we look forward to following the progress of recovery and you know, continuing to stand alongside you in the fight to end hunger and food insecurity in the U.S. So thanks for sharing your time with us today.
And thank you. And listen, thank you for sharing the platform with us. It really does matter so much to us, Erin. We appreciate it.
Great. Let's stay in touch. Follow us on Twitter at Heritage_Radio or on Facebook, Heritage Radio Network, for updates and more info on the response to Superstorm Sandy.